Welcome to Labor Talks, a podcast by NJASAP and for NJASAP that shares important news and information that you consume on your schedule. Labor Talks will tackle vital topics like safety, contract administration, the labor-management relationship, and how to navigate life as a NetJets pilot. And we will bring this information to you with the help of experienced union leaders, industry consultants, and subject matter experts. Whether you listen in your car, on the treadmill, or while working on tasks around your home, Labor Talks is a worthy investment of your time and attention. Join your fellow pilots and advocates as Labor Talks. Hello, everyone. I'm Claire Carey, and today I'm thrilled to sit down with Vice President Paulette Gilbert. Paulette, thank you for taking the time. As of the day of this recording, it has been almost 2 months since you and Strategy Group Chair Matt Williams were terminated. For those who have not been in Columbus in the last 2 months and haven't had the opportunity to hear Paulette and Matt's experience firsthand, Paulette, I want to walk them through the timeline of events, starting with your CRB notification.
Thanks, Claire. Yeah, I was notified on May 21st. I was coming into Columbus to do an LMRC meeting, so that was already on the books. They used that opportunity to take that time and hold the CRB, which is Crew Member Review Board, as you know. I received an email when I landed that night at about 11:30 p.m. saying you are being investigated for a confidentiality breach and expect your CRB tomorrow. I think it was something like 10 or 11 a.m., which was a very short notice. There was no crew member report that was requested in advance, which is typical for CRBs. And we were very much scrambling all night to try and figure out what this could possibly be about. We were on the phone, could not figure it out. And then we did make a request of the company to push it by a day so the attorneys could get here in time.
And they granted that day?
They did, yes.
So going into the crew member review board, the only information you had was confidentiality breach. Did you have a date, an event, a timeline?
No, they did not provide any of that information.
So going into the crew member review board, you're represented by an NJASAP steward and legal as well. Tell me what you can about the review board.
The review board itself was the longest one in NJASAP history. So yay, I set a record there. It was a little over 3 hours. A lot of that was the attorneys going back and forth, explaining, you know, what they thought was problematic in the review board. A lot of it seemed to hinge on protected union activity, and the attorneys were very much up in arms about that. I answered the questions to the best of my ability. They were very focused on two specific events that were COBRA team activities in Des Moines, Iowa. Those questions were very difficult to remember. They wanted basically exact conversations with anybody that was at those events, which I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday, for example. I really can't remember word for word a conversation I had over a year ago. So it was problematic in that regard. I tried to do the best I could with it. They are very clear that lying by omission is a lie and it's terminable. But to me, omission, when you can't remember something, is not intentional. It's just a fact. You can't remember.
Right. And these events took place in June of 2023 and November of 2023?
Correct.
Right. So you're between 6 months to a year out from the events that they're asking for information on. That would be awfully hard to recall specific details. All right. So after the CRB, what happened next? Were other people called in for the investigation?
They were. I was immediately placed on administrative leave, which is a tool the company uses while an investigation is ongoing. They then proceeded to call in about 11 or so of the people that attended the picket, not volunteers, simply people that attended because we asked.
How did they know which crew members to call in?
I believe they identified them from the Instagram feed that NJASAP posted at the conclusion of each event. And they sat down and tried to identify the photos. They did a great job because they actually called in one person who was flying for NetJets that day and was nowhere near Des Moines. So you can see the investigation was not without its flaws.
And as for Matt Williams, I believe he was called in at that time as well.
His was a bit later because he was on union leave at the time, as I was, and unavailable until I think June. It was when his first CRB was.
Okay, so starting at the end of May was when you were called in. All throughout June, all of these CRBs were going on. Was that your only one, or were you called back in?
No, I had the pleasure of a second CRB on July 2nd, where they had some follow-up questions of the first event. It was only an hour and a half or so the second time, so about half the experience, but it was very much the same, where they reword things that you've said and try to trip you up and catch you in what they call a lie, even though you have no intention of lying. It's just the way they play the game.
So that brings us to August. August 2nd, the day of yours and Matt Williams' termination. Did you think it would get to that point?
I had a very strong suspicion from the event starting in May because it was very much, the question seemed to be them trying to make a case. They weren't really interested in what I had to say, but trying to trip me up and make a case. After being on administrative leave that long, I was pretty certain that was going to be the outcome.
So the timeline of this is awfully suspicious. As we mentioned before, the events took place in June and November of 2023. Why do you think they waited months to start this investigation?
That's a great question that we really don't have the answer to. We did have an executive board election going on at the same time. So it felt like election interference. So the attorneys were very clear about that specific issue and the timeliness of it. If they had conducted these interviews sooner, we would have been able to perhaps recall more and make them happier. But it was just very much, the timing is very off.
We were also just coming off of signing our TA as well.
Yes.
Seemed like a very opportune time to kind of sandwich this investigation in. So that day, you and Matt receive your termination notice. What's running through your head?
We had a heads up the evening before. The company had notified us that we would be part of a call on August 2nd to, it's basically a hearing or a final call. It is required by the CBA that they either hold the call or they interview you in person. They typically don't interview you in person when it is a termination. So we were pretty sure that was going to be the outcome. We asked legal to make an agreement with the company so we did not have to attend that call because the outcome was known. So at that point, we just wanted to get on with the next process and next steps. So we deferred that call.
Paulette, you've been vice president of this organization for 10 years. I have to imagine the termination being startling, not only for your fate at NetJets, but also your fate at NJASAP. How are you handling that?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, there's good days and there's bad days, obviously. I'm very focused on doing everything we can to get mine and Matt's jobs back. And I'm still doing all my responsibilities as vice president. The attorneys were very clear with the company. If I had been elected, which I was, then I would still be able to serve in my role as vice president.
Following the termination, what's the separation process from NetJets like?
It's painful, in a word. I started a blog on the message board that basically chronicles what the procedures are and what the processes are. You have to return all of your items to NetJets. You have to destroy all of your uniforms, which means slicing them in my case. I detail that quite visually, I suppose, in my podcast and my blog. And it's gut-wrenching. I mean, I've worked at this company for 23 years. I've never been in trouble. I've never had a CRB, never even had a crew member report request. Well, there might have been one for like a passenger issue, but nothing that I did wrong. And in all those years, I've done nothing but try and make NetJets great. I believe in this company. I believe in what we do. And I believe we should be paid a fair wage for what we do. And I fought for it my entire career here. So, you know, those uniforms represent a lot to me, and having to cut them up and destroy them was probably the hardest part of all of this.
I mean, absolutely. I can't imagine being in your position and having devoted the amount of time you've devoted to this pilot group in service to making NetJets better at the end of the day. and having to destroy what's been your life the past couple decades. So tell me what's going on with Cobra.
Yeah, that was another punch to the gut for both Matt and I. Cobra, which is a continuation of your medical coverage, is 100% paid for by the employee upon separation. The company, in the first time ever that we have in known history, has denied Matt and I access to Cobra. In my case, it would have been $1,800 roughly a month that I would be paying out of pocket to continue my medical care for me and my husband. And for Matt, because he has three children and a wife on his policy, his would have been about $3,500 a month, which is very expensive. The fact that the company doesn't have to pay that premium and the full burden goes on to the employee, they have never denied it in the past. We have pilots that are in prison that have been offered Cobra, yet Matt and I are not. They then came up with a new reason. They've called it gross misconduct, which is not stipulated in our termination letters. And it's just beyond the pale that they would go down this route. I mean, it's one thing to go after Matt and I, it's another to go after our families.
This would come at no more cost to NetJets than any other employee, whether active or separated from the company.
Exactly. It is also because the Department of Labor mandates Cobra and how Cobra is enforced and regulated. And we believe they've now violated federal law by not offering it to both Matt and I.
Speaking of, what do next steps look like? What does this arbitration process look like?
Again, on my blog, I'm trying to go through the process so people know day by day what this is. I didn't really understand the whole process myself. Now that I'm ensconced in it, I'm learning it as we go. There are a few differences based on our cases. We're trying to get them to the arbitrator as fast as possible. So the first step was filing the termination grievance, which was done by NJSAP. And then the grievance hearing is held by the company within 10 business days. So they waited till the exact 10 days. Then the hearing is held. No new evidence was presented by either side. And they decided to uphold the terminations. And they gave us that notification 10 days after that event. Typically, the next step would be for us to go to SBA, which is Systems Board of Adjustment, which is held quarterly. The next SBA is scheduled for December. I think there's 8 cases on the docket. There is a provision in the CBA, though, that allows us to request an urgency hearing of SBA, which is what we chose, and it will be heard on October 2nd. We fully anticipate that it's going to deadlock. The company is going to say they still think their side's right. We still think our side's right. So the deadlock will be the outcome. But then that moves us to choosing an arbitrator.
A year and a half of sitting, waiting, wondering, thinking all too much. You obviously have your NJSAP responsibilities, which I know take up a lot of your time. But at the end of the day, you are a pilot. And you got into this career to be a pilot. And then you chose to represent the pilot group. What's it like losing that sense of pilot identity?
It's pretty tough. I mean, I don't really know how to put it into words. For those who follow the bids, I actually got the global bid on August 1st, only to be terminated on August 2nd, which was another punch, right? That is very frustrating. Then they issued, I think, 3 revised bids and didn't even take me off those revised bids after they had terminated me. So it's almost like they're putting it out there, ha ha, you can't have this, which is just not ideal. But because I am a pilot, because I love flying, I know that I'm going to be back in the air. That's not something that I worry about. It is hard because if anyone finds themselves in this situation and you have to go look at possibly getting current on your own dime, it's extremely expensive. So then you have to find contract work if you want to fly on the side. And none of that's easy. So in addition to my job as vice president, that leaves very little time to get all these things accomplished.
Is there anything that has surprised you coming out of the termination?
I think there's a lot of good surprises, like the pilot group reaching out. I mean, I've had tons of emails, tons of texts, tons of calls, and they keep coming, which is nice to know that we're not forgotten, which is a big part of this, being able to interact with the pilots, you know, by some of our new initiatives like the chill and chat and the fly-in and just the weekly pilot meetings and getting to tell my story and having people hear it, I think is very powerful. And it lets me know that people do care and they are supportive, which is great. Then there's little things like the first time I go to the airport when I no longer have a NetJets ID, I'm like, oh, I have to go through security like all the rest of the people. And
so no more KCM?
No more KCM. Yep. That badge had to be sent back with the rest of the stuff. Then I'm left with a lanyard that just says eBoard at the bottom, which is kind of odd, right? It's like, what kind of weirdo are you? You don't have a work ID to put on that lanyard. So things like that, you don't realize are going to be a big deal until you experience it. And you're like, well, I look strange just wearing an eBoard ID on a lanyard. So it's not great. But even, you know, KCM, even when you would get pulled aside for random screening, it's much faster
right.
than if you're just going through with the rank and file members at the airport.
Right. And they are just daily reminders of the experience you're having right now.
Absolutely.
But that's incredible to hear that you have this, the support of the pilot group and that people have been reaching out. It's so important in these times to remain unified and look after each other, because at the end of the day, that's the purpose of a union, to take care of each other. Speaking of taking care of each other and remaining unified, what would your advice be to the membership? How could they potentially get involved or make a difference here?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, unity right now is the key. I think everybody could wear an NJSEP lanyard. That would make me very happy to see nothing but NJSEP lanyards out there, especially while we're going through this. In addition, we need to read all the communications that are coming out and understand nothing that we've done this round was any different than the rounds in the past. 2015, for example, we had COBRA team events, we had billboards, we had all the things that we had this time, and the company is choosing to make a bigger deal about this round. I think that they're unhappy that we were able to secure $1.6 billion in improvements in the middle of a contract battle, which kudos to all of us because we did a great job and we were able to do that. And really, we deserved that. We were falling farther and farther behind our industry peers. And the whole reason that we went into this fight was because the pilot group wanted better job possibilities here. We wanted better pay. We wanted to keep up with, get more in line with the inflation rises that we've been seeing. We wanted more options as far as PLA. I know that's something near and dear to your heart, the parental leave. I mean, these are just things where we've fallen very behind and they needed to be addressed. So I think it makes NetJets a better company by being able to retain and recruit based on the things that we've accomplished through bargaining. All of our pilots are having babies, so that's all a benefit that we've negotiated. Your pay is negotiated. Everything that's great about NetJets and the reason that people want to work here are all negotiated benefits, and people need to realize that. So there's going to be a lot of education that comes out trying to drive these points home, because contracts are not gifts and they do come with consequences. And by reading and understanding what we've done to get to where we're at, we don't accidentally slip and give back something that we've already fought for through the years. In addition to wearing the lanyard, reading everything, attending the events that we host, we do have a new hostage pin, if you're aware.
Tell me about that.
So it was designed specifically for this event. It is a letter H and it is uniform compliant. So nobody has to worry about, you know, not being in uniform compliance. It is allowed as an official union pin. And the letter H is red. It has three little yellow marks on the top left corner. So it's to be worn with the yellow on the top left. Two bars, one represents me, one represents Matt, or stripes, if you want to call them stripes instead of bars. And then there's a small triangle for another individual that simply attended one of these pickets, but he was most likely going to be terminated as well since he was placed on administrative leave and he had two CRBs. So it didn't look good for him. Since he's only 27 years old, he decided to resign and go someplace else because he basically saw what the company is capable of. And that changed his outlook about staying here for his whole career. The pin itself is available by attending one of the events or coming to the weekly pilot meeting. or basically talking to Matt or I directly, because we want to get our story out there. We want people to hear it. And the more people that are wearing the pin, we are thrilled about it. So obviously we want people to wear them proudly and share with others where they got them and how they can get them.
Paulette, you talked about the outpouring of support from our membership. I think it's important to note here, while this is personal to you, it's personal to Matt, it's affecting your personal lives, there are broader implications here in terms of labor relations as a whole. Have we seen support from other labor unions in the industry?
Absolutely. All the independent airlines especially are very much in tune with what's going on here and asking questions and writing letters of support. In addition, ALPA is on board with supporting us. The Flight Attendants Union is supporting us. So all of the unions see this as a huge hit to unionized labor in general, because you can't take out a sitting member of the executive board of these different airlines. I mean, if NetJets is able to get away with this, then the other airlines are at risk. So they have skin in the game, so to speak, and they don't want to see this outcome happen. Everyone believes that this was protected activity, and they do the same initiatives that we do. So they're very much aligned with helping us. In addition to that, we have a lot of support on the Hill for the way the company is treating this specific situation, and we'll have more information about that coming out. So Coley's really doing a great job on the Hill, making sure that everyone knows what's going on here and people are taking notice.
Paulette, thank you so much for sitting down with me today, and thank you to those of you listening. NJASAP is hosting social gatherings called Chill and Chats at high-trafficked overnight hotels. We just had our first one on September 18th and had a fantastic turnout. Join us for our next Chill and Chat at the Hilton Anatole in Dallas on October 29th from 6 to 9. Come for great and free food and conversation with your union advocates. In addition to the Chill and Chats, we invite you to join us for Fly-In Fridays. No, not that sort of fly-in. This is an evening of good fun, tasty bites, and sipping your favorite beverage with your union leaders, friends, and family. The next one is November 15th at Jekyll Brewing City Center location, just 30 minutes from PDK. Can't wait to see you there. Thank you for joining us today on another episode of Labor Talks. If you haven't already done so, please follow NJASAP on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at NJASAP. Show your support for the union with comments, likes, and shares. If you enjoyed this episode, encourage your fellow NJASAP members to tune in. And please share recommendations for future podcast episodes with us at podcast@njasap.com. Stay tuned for our next episode. And until then, this is Labor Talks, presented by NJASAP.